Evening to everybody. In our series on Sidurav Shigurim on Tefillah, so what we have not discussed and I would like to focus on this evening is Kavanah. That is really the million-dollar question. The greatest challenge that we contemporarily have is having Kavanah davening. Even though the Keach writes is one of the Rishonim, that some of the most difficult nisyonos that a person challenges daily is davening with proper Kavanah. So not just our generation, but already in the times of Rishonim, this was a struggle. We all face the daily plethora of activities that we're involved with, from business to family to personal obligations to business responsibilities. We have so many things in our head and often become difficult to focus. And dafka, when we try to focus and when it's quiet for a moment and we're davening, so everything else that we're supposed to take care of and do starts flooding our mind as we're davening. So the goal of this evening's shiur is to walk away with a number of different potential practical possibilities as to how one can have more kavanah in davening. I will share some 7 or 8 different practical suggestions, some from Shulchan Aruch, some from other sources, and some other things that I've thought about to try to help us and inspire us daven with more kavanah. Of course, is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are upon us, and as much of the time we will be spending in shul focuses around davening, and of course we all want our tefillah answered, so hopefully we will be able to appreciate what tefillah is about, how we can have more kavanah, and try to reach a place where we will be able to have the kavanah that's both necessary, required, and that we really want. Now, we have to do 2 things. Number 1, we have to define what kavanah is. Number 2, we have to figure out the vehicle to reach kavanah. There is a siman Shulchan Aruch and siman Tzariches that is 5 sifim, and the title of the siman is Tzarech Shielo Kavanah B'Tzivah, that there is a requirement, an obligation, to have Kavanah B'Tzivah. So it's not that Kavanah is a additive or a suggestion or a good idea or a minor ingredient. That's not that important. But the word of Tzarech, there is an obligation or requirement. So Tzivah obviously is not a something that should be done by rote, because if it is, then you're missing the kavanah aspect of tefillah, which is so crucial. So we have to know what kavanah is and how we're going to fulfill this obligation. Yes, indeed, it's hard. It's difficult. Many things are hard and difficult. But nonetheless, let's try to figure out what it is. So the Shulchan Aruch does mention this is valid, a particular strategy for kavanah, specifically in Shemona Esrei. Nowhere else in Shulchan Aruch is there a definition of that of kavanah. In other parts of tefillah, we will mention a number of those, but let's start at least with Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is from the most crucial aspects of davening. It's the tefillah where we, of course, make many requests of God. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch, based upon Gemaras, has a definition of how to have kavanah in tefillah. And the fundamental principle of the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch is that tefillah is keneged karban. The karbanos that existed, Zman Shahi Beis HaMikdash Kaim, and to Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt speedily in our days, had rules and regulations in terms of how to properly offer a korban. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch, based upon the Gemara, understands that many of those requirements also exist when it comes to Tefillah Shemoneh Esrei. For example, when it came to a korban, there's a halacha called pigul. Pigul means that you can't have another thought when you're offering the korban. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, just like a korbanah, there's a psul, there's a prohibition. There is a problem if you are have a machshava acheres, to have another thought. The same thing is true when it comes to tefillah. You shouldn't have any other thought. The second thing the Shulchan Aruch says is just like a korban is offered the umah standing, so too you're supposed to stand when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei. The third thing the Shulchan Aruch says is just like a korban had a particular place where it's offered, so too you have to have a special spot that you daven Shemoneh Esrei, and that's called kfiyas makom, what we call today colloquially a makom kavua. That space and that place has to be your spot. That has to be the place where you daven. The fourth thing that the Shulchan Aruch says, and when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei, that ideally there shouldn't be anything between you and the wall. Now, obviously, in our shul, it's almost impossible because only some people can daven next to the wall. But just like when it came to a korban, there should be nothing separating between you and the wall. So when it comes to tefillah, that should be true as well. The last condition that the Shulchan Aruch mentions is malbushim naim, should be dressed properly and nicely. Certainly the same thing is true when it comes to tefillah. The way we dress has an effect on how we do many things, and therefore the same thing is true. If we dress properly, nicely, befitting, of tefillah, our tefillah will hopefully be that much stronger. Now, these five things that I just mentioned are facts. They're true. They're halachas. They're things that we have to do. We can't have other thoughts. We should stand for Shemoneh Esrei. We should have a special place for Shemoneh Esrei. There shouldn't be anything separating between us and the wall. We should dress nicely. But at the end of the day, if you're going to tell me that, you called in so I could tell you these five things, I think you'll be a little bit let down. I mean, they're nice and they're facts and they're halachas. But at the end of the day, is that really the secret? Is that really the trick to Kavana? So the answer is, of course it is. But nonetheless, the goal is to try to figure out how it is that Malbushim not nice clothes, how it is that thinking about other thoughts will help you reach the Kavana that you're going to get. Let's try to appreciate what the Shulchan Aruch really means. We can concretize and make the most of our tefillah and get the Kavana revved up to a level that we want. So what is Kavana? What is the definition of Kavana? What level of concentration do I have to have? So Shulchan Aruch, quoting Gemara Brachos and Daf Lam, it says that the Kavana that's necessary is Perush Hamilos Shemoti B'Sosot. You have to understand the words that you're saying, number one. And number two, V'yachshov Kilu Shechina Kenegdo. You have to think and imagine that the Shechina, the presence of God, is in front of you. And the third and the final thing that the Shulchan Aruch says is the definition of Kavana is to be Meisir Kol HaMachshavos HaTordos Osot. You should remove all the thoughts that are moving you away from having Kavana until your Kavana is Zaka, until your Kavana is pure. So those are the three definitions that the Shulchan Aruch has of Kavana. Number one, Perush Hamilos, understanding the words that you're saying. Number two, imagining that the Shechina is in front of you. And number three, removing all distractions, all thoughts out of your mind and leaving your mind clear just to daven. Shulchan Aruch continues and says, just like you would meet and speak to a king, and you've been granted the opportunity and appointment to meeting with a king, you would be very careful and cautious and articulate to make sure that every single thing that you're saying is going to be perfect, pristine. You prepared your words and your remarks, and you know exactly what you're going to say. So too, when you're coming to greet, to meet, to talk to the king, Melech Malchim Melech Kadosh Baruch Hu, who knows our thoughts and knows exactly what we mean and what we're saying, certainly you should be even more prepared to daven. Shulchan Aruch continues and says that the Hasidim, Rishonim, the early pious scholars, would take time prior to davening and would think about their tefillah so intently that they would be removed from this world and they would have such spiritual connection that they would almost be on a existential level of a connection with God. Now, that can't be expected, but certainly these three things are the halachic definition, and we're going to try to come up and understand how we can reach those three levels. Number one, to know the definition of the words that we're saying. Number two, to imagine and to picture the Shechina in front of us. And number three, to remove all thoughts that are not belonging to tefillah out of the picture. So when it comes to Perush Hamilos, the Mishnah Berurah is very clear and articulate and says that the best way to know translation words is to study the Siddur and to try to find time outside of the context of tefillah. Of course, the English, the art scroll, and the translations are wonderful. But one should come into tefillah prepared, understanding the words that you're going to say. There's a tefillah shir. If there you have time during your day to focus, to think, to look at the words of davening, and to understand the words of davening, depending on your level of proficiency, how long you've been davening, how many years you've been davening, how well-versed you are in tefillah and in the Hebrew language. So everybody has a different level. But of course, the more prepared you are and the greater understanding you have of the Siddur, of the words that you are saying, the more meaningful tefillah will be for you. Now, this does not mean that you have to have two or three definitions to every single word that's being said. And you don't have to know what Rav Hirsch necessarily and how he defines, and Rabbi Schwab and how he defines different tefillahs. But it's a simple understanding of the words. So much so that the Mishnah Berurah quotes from a response to Tshuvas Marshal, quoting from a great Kabbalist, who said that even after he learned Kabbalah for many, many years, he still davened Kitinot Ben Yomo, like a child a day old. Meaning that our tefillah has to be simple, has to be straight. It shouldn't be complicated. It shouldn't be so deep that we have so many different levels of interpretation into what a word means that we become so focused on this definition or that definition, but we should speak as a child speaks to a parent. And that is the definition of tefillah, and that's the most best way to have kavana, is perush hamilos, understanding the words that you are saying. I would suggest that there are different levels of preparation also. Before a person comes to shul, before a person drives to shul, before a person davens in their own home, you should think what you're doing. Recognize what you're about to do. You're about to open up a seder. You're getting ready to walk to shul, to go to shul, to get in the car. Whatever it is, however many moments, minutes, or time you need just to focus and contemplate what you're about to do is a very, very powerful tool to take advantage of the time that you have in shul. Many of the customs prior to actually walking into a sanctuary to Beis HaKnesset to actually bow and to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hikon Likras Alakecha Yisrael, we're about to greet, to meet, to speak to Melech Malchim Lachim, to the King of all kings. So we should recognize that. We should think about that and appreciate what is about to happen. So the more preparation that one has, the more kavana you'll have because you recognize what you're doing. No different than preparing for a meeting or for whatever it is that is important in one's life. Tefillah also, if it's important, so we should think and consider how much we need to do prior to executing the tefillah and making sure that the tefillah will be positive and have the kavana that's necessary. Now, the third form of preparation, the third form of kavana that could be helpful is at least in the bracha that you're making. Take, for example, Shemoneh Esrei. You have 19 brachos. So maybe it's not possible to have perfect kavana for every single word in the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Now, according to halacha, you must have the kavana that I defined up until the first bracha, Magen Avraham. That is mandatory. So there you have to know the definition of each and every single word. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elkeinu Melkei Avraham, Elkei Avraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov. Until Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, there should be a clear understanding of what those words mean. And poskim say that you also have to have a very clear understanding of Tefillah Modim, thanking Hashem and recognizing God, because how do you thank somebody if you don't know what you're thanking the person for? So you have to understand the Modim as well. But if we're not able to have that level of Kavanah that we would have in the first Bracha of Shemoneh Esrei or in Modim, at least in every Bracha that we're making in Shemoneh Esrei, when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Hashanah, or Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Oyin Tzadok HaMishpat, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonin Adas, at least in the bracha that we're saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, at least understand and know what that means, that we're thanking Hashem, we're blessing Hashem, we're asking God, that we're connecting with Atah, with Hashem, you are Elokeinu, you're the master of the universe, Melech HaOlam, Melech Oheh Tzadok HaMishpat, at least in the bracha itself, it would be wonderful if we would stop for a moment prior to making the bracha in each of the 19 brachos and say, I know I'm about to make a bracha. I'm going to say a bracha with kavana. I'm going to understand the words that are being said, and I'm going to appreciate the words that I'm saying, and I'm going to make sure I understand that. That is wonderful kavana. So globally and generally, the first of the tips that I like to share is preparation. Preparation is key. It's to everything that we do, and of course, when it comes to tefillah, it's that much more important. If we prepare by understanding the siddur, if we prepare ourselves before we come to shul, before we walk into shul, as we come to shul, when we open up the siddur, if we know and recognize and think about what we're doing and don't just rush into shul or don't just rush by opening a siddur, but taking a moment to think what we're about to do can be a very, very powerful exercise in appreciating what is happening. That's the first step or the first idea, the first suggestion in terms of how to best have the kavana that's necessary. The second suggestion is coming to shul on time. Coming to shul on time is not just because that's what you're supposed to do, but really part of tefillah is building up from stage to stage. Tefillah starts with Psukei Dezimra. There's a reason that tefillah starts with Psukei Dezimra, and that's because Psukei Dezimra is praise and thanks of God. We talk about the moon, the star, the sky, the cosmos, and the river, the lakes, the snow, the rain, and God's power and beauty in nature. The reason that we begin with Psukei Dezimra, Birchas HaShachar, Pokeach Ivrim, Zokif Kufufim, Mati Yosurim, is because we recognize God's strength, God's ability, that God is master of the universe. If we recognize that, then we will begin to be able to hit and to reach the next level and the plateau of davening, which is Shemoneh Esrei, that Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the next level. We're only able to reach that and to gain appreciation for Hashem Echad if you have Psukei Dezimra. Once you say Hashem Echad and you know that God is one, then you could start asking questions of God and you could start asking requests of God, and that's Shemoneh Esrei. Coming on time allows for a very natural build-up of every rung and step on the ladder, climbing from Birchas HaShachar to Psukei Dezimra to Birchas Kriya Shema to Kriya Shema to Tefillah, and then slowly moving back to to Ashrei Tavolot Tzion and to Aleinu. It's a very, very natural transition and progression of Tzila. The Seder HaTzila is in such a way that we will be able to appreciate it. When a person starts at Shema, or starts at Shemona Esrei, or comes late, so it's like coming late to a meeting, and it doesn't work as well, and you're off. It's like when you have to be up at a certain time, and you wake up late, your whole day is off, and everything is off kilter, and the next thing is not going to go so well, and the next thing is not going to go so well. So coming on time to shul and to davening allows a human being and a person to appreciate the steps in tefillah and to really have the kavanah that's necessary for tefillah. Now, if I'd be so bold, I would say that the caveat of that is not just coming on time, but coming early. When you come early to shul and you have time to slowly prepare for davening, certainly for the men, when they're putting on tefillin, so the more time you have to put on tefillin, and the more time anybody has when you are davening to think about what is about to happen, is also an extremely powerful tool and a vehicle in terms of having the kavanah that's necessary. When we're rushed, and when we're coming in the middle, so it doesn't allow us to really focus because we're so caught up on catching up and doing what we're supposed to be doing just by rote and filling the gaps and making sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, that the words are being said, but the motion, the lathe, is not where it's supposed to be. The second suggestion, the second practical tip is, besides preparing, the number two is coming on time, coming early, and allowing the natural progression and the taking every step and rung on the ladder to the next level. The third suggestion is that what the Shulchan Aruch said. Shulchan Aruch said in Siman Aleph, Siv Gimel, Tov ma'at tachanunim b'kavana, meharbos below kavana. It's better to say few prayers with kavana than many prayers without any kavana. This is a very important rule. Very often, and more often than not, we're so focused on saying what we have to say and getting through what is stated and written in the Siddur that we don't allow ourselves to think about what we're saying. Yet, sometimes shul and Baal Tefillah can go faster, and yet we have to keep up and we have to keep pace. There's certainly much, much merit, importance, halachic merit, and halachic importance to davening the Tzibur. But at the same time, there are times when there could be the potential and certainly the possibility, and the Shulchan Aruch uses the word tov, it's good, to say less than to say more, because sometimes less is more. And when it comes to tefillah, one has to check and focus and think and figure out how I can make the most out of my tefillah and my prayers. So let's try to think, and every person for themselves has to figure out. So a person who's davening by themselves, so they don't necessarily have that pressure. Sometimes you have an option of minyan that you can go to, and if there's a slower minyan that you have the opportunity to go to, and that fits your schedule, so of course that's a chatchila. But we're not always so lucky that we don't always have the opportunity, and the day's busy, we have to get to work, and shachas and mincha is in the middle of the day, so there are a lot of pressures and challenges. But find a way, ideally, that you can say everything with kavanah. That's the ideal. But if that is an impossibility, so then try to figure out things and places to focus on more and things that you could skip. Now, it doesn't mean that I should skip on a constant and regular basis. Maybe I could figure out a way to say something today and something tomorrow. In Kelm, there was a Masorah that on Monday and Thursday, when there was a longer Tachman, they didn't say the entire Tachman because it's too much. It's hard to have Kavanah for the entire Tfilah of Tachman on a Monday and Thursday when it's much longer. They would say 1 week, and they would say one the first week, the second week, the third week, and there would be a system and a schedule in terms of which paragraphs to say. It could be sometimes in Sukkot Zimra, there are things that we should skip, paragraphs, chapters that we should skip because it's impossible to say the entire Sukkot Zimra in a particular time constraint. That's a third suggestion, something to consider, that yes, it's better to say less than with Kavanah than to say more without Kavanah. That is something that each individual has to try to think about, to consider. Certainly in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when there is a lot of tefillah and there are a lot of piyutim that are being said, so you have to regulate and figure out a system that you could keep up and stay connected to the tzibur, but at the same time, make sure that you don't feel rushed and you have the opportunity to connect and to have the kavanah that you want and make sure you're taking advantage of that. That's the third suggestion. Fourth suggestion is based upon a Gemara and Rabbein Yonah's suggestion. The Gemara says in Masech Tivamos, Daf Kufay, HaMespalel Tzarech Shehitein Einav Lamata V'Liba Lamala. person who's davening should cast his eyes downward and his heart upward. Rabbi Yona comments and he explains that pshat in the Gemara is that when a person is davening, the individual should really almost imagine that he's in Shemayim. Person should imagine that he's out of this world, that he's not engaged in any worldly pleasure, any material or a physical action or activity, and should almost be separate from the world. Now, the way that we could translate that for us contemporarily is that when we're davening, we should sort of imagine that we're in a meeting and there's no call that can be taken. Not a text, not an email, not a phone call. That we are preoccupied. We're busy. We have something that we cannot be thinking about anything else. And it's important as certain things are during the day. So tefillah has to be similar. Now, at least for part of tefillah, or for the entire tefillah, for most of tefillah. But if there's a phone going off and on, and if we're thinking about something else, or involved in other activities at the same time, tefillah is not going to work. It's almost a stira, it's a contradiction. How could I be davening and doing something else at the same time? How could I be talking to two different people at the same time? It's impossible. You can only be focused on one thing. And being focused on one thing means focused on Hashem. The suggestion is remove yourself from this world. Now, removing yourself from this world means just taking away distractions. If it's a different room, if you're not davening in shul, if you're davening in shul, it's your spot, it's your makom. First, not talking during davening, but making tefillah the focus and making tefillah the meeting that cannot have any distractions and cannot have any interruptions. That's the way Rabbi Yonah understands the Gemara. Yitain einav lamatav liba lamala. Our heart should be focused on God, our eyes should be focused downward, and we should be only focusing on the job at hand. And that's our relationship, and that's our conversation, connection, and dialogue at the moment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fifth suggestion is to recognize how privileged we are to speak with the king. Now, if you want to speak with the king, the president, the prime minister, the queen, so besides it taking a long time, it might never happen. We have an opportunity three times a day to have yichidus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shemoneh Esrei is three times a day. Shemoneh Esrei is twice a day. Tefillah is an awesome opportunity. There are people who come early and they leave late. They want to take advantage of tefillah and use the opportunity to have a longer time to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we realize how privileged we are to have this opportunity, it allows to be focused and taking advantage of the time that we have more seriously. You don't want to lose the opportunity. You don't want to let the opportunity run away. And especially Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is an awesome opportunity. Dir Shu Hashem Bimatzo, Kadosh Baruch Hu is like Hamelech Basada. He is the king in the field. He's left his palace Kaviyachol and is traveling to the outskirts, into the cities, into the villages. So here it is that we have an opportunity to really, really connect with Hashem in a very, very real way. And that's an awesome, awesome opportunity. It's a gift that we have to be able to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Asayas Yimei Tshuva, it's the highlight and it's the height of that opportunity. But daily, three times a day, we have the opportunity, the option, the bracha, the matana, to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something we should recognize. And when you recognize the gift, so hopefully we'll be able to take advantage of it more. When we don't realize the gift, so we don't take advantage of it. But if we're prepared and recognize the gift that we have, maybe, that will allow for greater kavanah as well. Sixth suggestion is when we are davening, there are one of two things you should be doing. Either looking inside the sitter or davening with your eyes closed. If you're looking inside the sitter, you're going to say the word. And at that point, you're going to have perish amilos. You're going to have explanation and translation of what the words mean. When you close your eyes, you can imagine the Shekhinah can exo, and hopefully you won't have other thoughts. Sometimes when the thought pops into one's mind, so an Eitzah, an idea, jot it down, write it down, because then you won't have to think about it anymore. You know you have it on a pen. Do that. But when it comes to tefillah itself, so look inside, say the words, or close your eyes and say the words. But to be looking around and to be focused on other things, so clearly is going to take away from one's kavanah. So those are two suggestions within number six, is looking in the sitter or closing your eyes and thinking, focusing on what you're doing. The final suggestion, and that's number seven, and this is something that I think we all struggle with, and that is that we have to believe that tefillah works. If I were to ask most people, do you really believe your prayers are going to be answered? I'm frightened to know the answer to that question. Do we really believe that our tefillahs work? And that's number 7. We have to try to think, recognize, and know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers our tefillahs. And we have to know that the way of Shalom. And when we know that, then it's very hard not to have the kavana that's necessary. Because if you know Hashem is going to answer, Melech Ohev Saku Mishpat, Rofe Chole Am Lo Yisrael, Hakel HaKadosh, Vila Malshinim Al Tisikva, there's so many things that we need, we desire. There are so many people who are out to get us as a klal. There are so many people who need a refuah. There are so many people who are looking for their basher. There are so many people who are in such need of so many things. So certainly for us individually who need those things, and for us who are davening for those other people, we have to know and believe that our tefillos work, and we really have to inculcate that and concretize that and build our belief system and our emunah that tefillah works. Because if we don't believe it, then why are we davening? Tefillah is a mandate. It's either mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, based upon the way that we discussed last week, the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. But tefillah works. We read the Nevi'im, you read the Chumash. That's what all our greats did. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Kel, Narafanala, Moshe. Everybody davened. Davening was the answer to all of our prayers, as we focused on last week. Tefillah is a necessity in order to get what we need and to get what Klal Yisrael needs. We need to believe that tefillah works and to recognize that tefillah works. If we really know that, and if we really believe that, then certainly and surely we will be able to have more kavana. So just to review the 7 basic thoughts, suggestions, tips to make our tefillah powerful and stronger. Number 1 is preparation. Many, many different levels of preparation. The more prepared we are, the stronger and the greater kavana we're going to have. It's preparing the sitter, it's coming through shul, prepared, recognizing that we're about to daven before we open up the sitter, and before we can make a bracha. Those levels of preparation are very, very powerful. The second that we spoke about was coming on time and building up tefillah and making sure that we're following Berachas HaShachar, the Psukei D'Zimra, the Berachas Kriya Shema, the Kriya Shema, the tefillah, allowing ourselves to be early and to think what we are about to do. The third suggestion was saying less is more. Of course, if you could say everything with kavana, so that's the greatest. But if that's not a possibility and time is of the essence, better to say less with kavana than more without kavana. The fourth suggestion was focusing on the job at hand, removing ourselves from the world, and only having a meeting with God, and nothing else can interrupt us and cannot be preoccupied with anything else. The fifth suggestion is recognizing the privilege we have to speak to Melech Melechim Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how lucky we are to have that gift. The sixth is looking inside or closing our eyes while we're davening. And the seventh and final is believing that tefillah works. Just to conclude, tefillah can be an awesome, very pleasurable, and enjoyable experience. But like anything, it requires an understanding and appreciation. No pain, no gain. The goal is that tefillah should get better and stronger, and today's tefillah should be better than yesterday's tefillah, and tomorrow's tefillah should be better than today's tefillah. We have to be growing in our relationship with Hashem and certainly growing in our ability to daven and strengthening our understanding of tefillah, strengthening our kavana, our appreciation for what the words mean. Of course, davening simply with a very pure, clear understanding of what tefillah is, removing all of the machshavas hamatridos, all of the thoughts that could that are preoccupying us with focusing what we have to be focusing on. But tefillah is a beautiful experience. It's a great opportunity to stop and start our day, to break our day in the middle, and to conclude our day. And when we look at tefillah as an opportunity to connect to Hashem, the pleasure and the joy that emerges from davening can be incredibly joyous, can be very, very special. But it's a growth process. And if it's from the beginning, that doesn't mean it's not enjoyable. Anything that is important sometimes is difficult from the beginning. The more a person puts in, the more a person will get out. The more one focuses on tefillah, the more a person will be able to appreciate the tefillahs that are being said. And of course, tefillah is such an integral part of the experience that we have as Jews, and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and maintaining that relationship and connecting to the Creator, it's the due diligence that's required is to put the time in necessary, both before, during, and after. And halavai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'schus our sincerity and our appreciation and our belief in Tefillah and recognizing the power of Tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a year, Ashan Tovah Mesukah, a year of success, a year of peace, a year of simcha, a year of shalom, and all of our tefillahs and mitzvahs should be answered.